Well, as we come to this first Sunday of our new year, we set aside this week as an opportunity to think about something of being prepared for a new year, something of our desire to know something of the Lord's hand upon us and his blessing upon us. And the passage that we read earlier in Acts chapter 9, which begins with that glorious account of Saul's conversion, one who was formerly a persecutor of the Lord's people. We read of him then so much through the remainder of the book of Acts as being one who was so concerned for the church and for the Lord's people that they might be blessed. What a lovely reminder that is to us of how the Lord turns people around, those who once were those who despised the things of God and hated the things of God. God can change. He can change their hearts. He can turn them about. He can make them to be those who now so love the name of the Lord that they were willing to suffer anything for their Saviour and for the Lord's people. And at the end of that passage that we read in Acts chapter 9 and in verse 31, after this period of persecution, we just read there that it said that then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And just reading that verse there made me think that that's surely something that we would desire down to this coming year, that we would know something of those things, being edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and being multiplied. And that desire that we should indeed see a blessing upon us down to this year is something of a theme that I want us to dwell upon this evening. But the passage I want to turn to is a little bit later on in the book of Acts. If we turn to Acts and chapter 14, we find that Paul, as we just remarked, was a man who then had a great burden for the church and for the disciples, for the Lord's people. And there are a number of occasions, you remember this as we went through the book of Acts recently, a number of occasions where Paul showed something of his great burden for the churches and for the people of God and wanted to go around and visit them again, places that he'd already been to. And we find in Acts and chapter 14 and verse 21, it says there that and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. This is Paul and Barnabas. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. Confirming the souls of the disciples. There's something of Paul's desire there to revisit these churches that he'd been to and confirm them, to encourage them, to literally, it means to establish them and to strengthen them, to ground them. And it's not the only time that we read of those things. Later on in chapter 15 and verse 36, remember this occasion, it says, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. You know, if Paul was here today, it would be lovely to think, wouldn't it, that he would be concerned perhaps about this fellowship here, to see how we do. How are we going to do? How are we doing? What's this new year going to signify in our walk for the Lord? And then at the end of that chapter, chapter 15, as they depart on that journey, we find in verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. There it is again, he going around and confirming the churches, seeking to encourage them and ground them and establish them and to encourage them in these things. And as we enter into this new year, there's something that we should desire, to be confirmed, to be established, to be grounded, to know something of that encouragement and something of that comfort, something of those things that Paul desired to see in the church as well. And the verse I want us to dwell on this evening is that one that we've just seen in chapter 14 and verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. This confirming of the disciples, that which we would desire to see, and being encouraged and established and strengthened and comforted, consists of three elements that we see here in this verse. Firstly then, there's an exhortation. An exhortation. In confirming the souls of the disciples here, it says in verse 22, he exhorted them to continue in the faith, exhorted them to continue in the faith. He beseeched them, he pleaded with them. There he was, desiring that they should take heed to his appeals, that they would continue in the faith. And it's salutary for us to just realize, just for a moment, that sometimes we need to be exhorted, don't we? We need those words of encouragement. We need sometimes, sadly, to be stirred up because we lose something of our enthusiasm, something of our, perhaps our devotion, something of our conviction. Sometimes we let these things slip and slide and we enter into a routine and we're casual about our faith and our lives and our Christian profession. And here's the apostle, he's exhorting them. And sometimes we need to be stirred up. Sometimes we can be lethargic and half-hearted about these things. And we need to be exhorted to stir ourselves, to gird ourselves like men, to be strong, to go out there and to be faithful to the Lord. And sometimes we need that word of exhortation. And perhaps this evening, as we enter into a new year, we're perhaps feeling faint-hearted. Perhaps we're feeling that the cause is almost lost. Perhaps we're feeling the onslaught of the wicked one, of the society in which we live, and it almost seems hardly worth the effort to stand up and to bear a testimony in this world. But here we are to be exhorted. You know, when we read through the book of Acts, I think we're finding ourselves more and more in this day and age to be in this kind of a society and situation. There is so much around us now that has removed all those vestiges of what was once a Christian nation. And we're surrounded, aren't we, by paganism and false worship and false religions, just as it was here in these times when Paul travelled around and he planted these individual churches. And there they are in the midst of these societies, and he goes to them, he knows what they need, and it's what we need. We need to be exhorted. We need to be stirred up. We need to have that appeal to us. These things are serious. We should be in earnest about our faith. And these are things that we don't simply have as a casual, half-hearted add-on to our daily lives. That, well, on a Sunday we go about this religious bit of our lives and the rest of our lives is neglected. And here he is, he says, he's exhorting them. But what is he exhorting them to do? Particularly, he exhorted them to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith. You know, it's instructive for us to be reminded that sometimes we can so lose heart and so be pulled down by the onslaught of the wicked one, by our own fickle natures, by the temptations that surround us, that we can be tempted to, as it were, give up. Here's Paul saying he wanted to exhort them to continue. He said, don't give up. Go on. He says, continue in these things. See, no one who has set his hand to the plough and then turns back is worthy of that calling. And see how the Lord reminded us that when we've once laid hold upon him, we're to continue, we're to persevere, we're to go on to the end. And we're to be those who, having come to know this Lord Jesus, should have that desire to continue with him. If we have once tasted that the Lord is good, can we lose that desire for him? Have we in some sense done that? And we're sort of tempted, well, at one time perhaps we had more of a joy in the Lord, more of a communion with our Lord, more of a sense of his presence, and we've let that go. Can that be said of us? That we aren't continuing in those things? See, we need to be exhorted at times and appealed to wake up and to stir ourselves up and to again examine ourselves and see how we do. As he said earlier on, he wanted to go around the church to see how they do. How are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing in our walk with the Lord? We've come to faith in the Lord. We believe that he is the Saviour. We've been rejoicing in him coming into this world. We've seen him on the cross at Calvary, dying in our place, the King of Kings, our Creator, coming into this world and dying for us. We see that love that he bore toward his people. And we've laid hold upon, we believed that, we trusted in that, we believed that that was a sacrifice for our sins. And then we've continued in our lives as though it doesn't really affect us anymore. And we're not moved by it anymore. And we need to be exhorted to continue in that walk with the Lord and that understanding of what he's done for us. But to continue in the faith, he says there, to continue in the faith. See, we are to live lives of faith. this Christian profession that we have is one of faith. We come to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe his promises. We believe his word. We believe who he says he is and what he says he accomplished. We believe that as the eternal Son of God, he only could die upon the cross for our sins and take away the penalty for our sins. We believe that. It's by faith that we believe. By faith that we lay hold upon him. And here's the apostle saying that we are to continue in that faith. Have you laid hold upon the Lord? Have you believed in him? Do you know him as your Saviour? Then continue living by faith. Day by day we're to live by faith and not by sight. And so often we separate those two things. We separate our conversion experience, a bit like the Apostle Paul in the Damascus Road. However our experience is described, there was a time when we must have met the Lord. He must have revealed himself to us. He must have shown that we needed him and that we are guilty sinners before him. And by faith we held on to him. But then somehow we think we can live our lives by sight, by our own wisdom, by our own effort, by what others advise us to do. And we forget that we're to live by faith, continuing to trust in him, to trust in him, to open our eyes to the great truths in his word, to feed us each day that we come to the preaching of his word. How is it that we come to an occasion like this and we can go from it blessed, knowing that we've heard what God has to say to us, not what somebody stood up and prepared a message. Not that we've come to open up some secular philosophy and to imagine that there's something of benefit to us. We come to the Word of God and he's fed us and he's nourished us. And it's by faith that we come to worship the Lord and believe that he's even here now in our midst. Is that not what he's promised in his Word? Where two or three are gathered together. And there are some perhaps amongst us here this evening who don't know the Lord Jesus in this way. There are perhaps some here who have not come to faith and trust in the Lord. Do you know that he is here? Because you're in the company of believers who know the Lord Jesus, who are gathered in his name, who in their hearts desire to worship, and therefore Jesus is here in our midst. And it's by faith that we believe these things and our hearts are warmed when we sing the hymns of praise and when we come to worship and we come to hear the word of God and our hearts are warmed because he speaks to us and is in the midst to open our eyes. And it's by faith that we hear and believe and understand these great things. Here's Paul, he exhorts us then when he's coming to confirm the souls of the disciples. And we desire then to be confirmed, to be established, to be grounded, to be comforted and encouraged for this year ahead. Then here's this first thing then. We're to be exhorted to continue in the faith. Having embarked upon this life of faith, let us continue looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you live in that way? Day by day, drawing sustenance from him in your prayer life, your meditation upon his word, seeking that he would indeed feed you. We're to live by faith. But notice again, of course, he says, continue in the faith. The faith. There is no other way. And sometimes we need that exhortation as well, that reminder that this is not one of many ways to come to know the living God. This is not one of many ways to get to heaven. We live at a time where everybody will tell you that you mustn't describe yourself in such exclusive terms. There are other religions and other faiths and other ways to find some kind of peace in this life. But this is the faith. There is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. This is the faith. It is exclusive. The claims of this Lord Jesus are exclusive. We make no apology for that. When Jesus stood up, he said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. Are we ashamed of that? Are we afraid to declare that? See, here's the apostle saying. He's exhorting them to continue in the faith. Not in just faith. The faith. The true faith. Faith is declared to us here in the scriptures. The faith that is there seen in the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope, as our only Saviour, our only Redeemer. And so there's that first aspect then of being confirmed and established in our service for the Lord. The second thing that we have here is that the people were edified. We should desire to be edified. We want to be exhorted. We should respond to exhortations to continue, but we also want to be edified, to grow in our understanding, to learn what the Lord would teach us and show us. That passage that we read earlier on in Acts chapter 9 there in verse 31 spoke of that. The churches had rest and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord were multiplied. It was a time of blessing when the people were grounded, continuing in their faith, and were edified. We should never rest content that we have understood everything, that we have fully grasped the doctrine of an infinite, eternal God whose depths are unsearchable, whose nature is beyond our understanding, whose love is infinite. How is it that we can ever claim to fully grasp these things? But God has revealed something of his nature to us, something of his infinite nature, things that we can grasp and understand. And here it is in this verse again, in verse 22, that here's Paul speaking of these things. He exhorts them to continue in the faith. And here's something that he wants to teach them, and they're edified through, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Something that he wants the people to grasp and understand, the disciples to be taught, that through much tribulation this life consists. Do we understand that? Sometimes, you know, we hear those who will preach a prosperity gospel, health, wealth and prosperity, as though somehow the Christian life, having come to trust in this Jesus, everything's going to be easy and smooth and straightforward. Well, many of us here know that cannot be true, can it? We know it's not true in our own experience, but the scriptures tell us that. It should be no surprise to us. And here's the apostle here saying that it's through much tribulation. You know, the Christian life is a life of trouble, of difficulties, of struggles. It's a life of much tribulation. And that might seem strange to people to say, well, you surely can't preach that if you're wanting people to come and be saved and become Christians and know these things. You're surely not going to tell them that it's a life of trouble. But this is what we must say, because this is what the Lord Jesus set before us as well. You know, I remember how the Lord himself spoke of these things in John and chapter 16. He spoke about how, he said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. John 16 and verse 33. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We're reminded, aren't we, that if we would follow our Master, follow the Lord Jesus faithfully, be his servants, be his disciples, then we can expect no better than our Lord was treated. And surely he was the one who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If our Lord and his life knew such troubles and struggles and tribulations, we should expect and not want anything different. And the Lord says that we're not above our Master, and that we will have troubles and difficulties and struggles in our lives, naturally because we live in a fallen world, but specifically because we are his disciples, because we profess the name of Christ. And that does bring upon us all the attacks of the evil one and all those responses from the world around us, all the things that, humanly speaking, we are somewhat afraid of. And some of those things that we would want to avoid, and perhaps do cause us at times to be ashamed of the name of Christ. But he says it's through much tribulation that we are to be those who persevere on our Christian life and our Christian walk. Do we understand then that we are to be those then who must, he says, notice he says there, who must, that we must through much tribulation. It's almost a necessity. It's necessary for us to go through tribulations, partly because we're to follow our Lord in his footsteps, but partly because the Lord is dealing with us. And that's the way that we need to look at these things, that the Lord it is who molds his people. The Lord it is who is teaching us more about himself as we go through troubles and we go through trials and the various tribulations. Don't we learn more of the Lord then than we do when things are easy? and smooth, when life is straightforward. And then it is, if we're honest, we know that we neglect the things of God, and our prayer life perhaps weakens. There aren't those things that have driven us to the throne of grace, driven us to our knees, to plead with the Lord, to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us. But it's when the troubles come that we are driven to our knees, and we are caused to look to Him, and it's then that we know the blessing. See, what the apostle here is speaking of, he wants the church to be blessed. He wanted to confirm the disciples. He wanted them to be established and grounded. And part of that is understanding that we must live lives that do go through tribulation, and that these things are a blessing, and they drive us to know more of the Lord, to prove His faithfulness to us, to prove His promises of good to us, to prove that He's a God who hears our prayers and answers them in remarkable ways, ways that we could never have fathomed or guessed or understood in any sense. But there are times when our faith is strengthened and our trust in the Lord grows, and we prove that we are those who have been changed by the living God, given those new hearts, caused to rejoice that yes, we are on this journey to glory. See, we must, he says, we must, through much tribulation, go through these things. It's a time of strengthening, a time of encouragement when we prove the Lord, a time of a closeness to the Lord. That so often is the testimony of believers, that in the time of trouble is when they've known particularly the Lord's presence and the Lord's blessing. Well, we must, and when we enter into tribulation and troubles and difficulties in our lives, let us not shrink under that and shrink from it and somehow question the Lord's dealings with us and doubt His care and His love for us, but to take hold of these words where the Lord Himself has said and the apostles have said, that it is through much tribulation that we must experience in this life as we go on in our walk serving the Lord, living for Him and rejoicing in His goodness to us. So there's the second aspect then of His confirming the souls of the disciples, the exhortation then to continue, the edification, and part of that includes a reminder that we do go through times of difficulties and tribulation and struggles. But then thirdly, the encouragement. The encouragement, it must be there, mustn't it? There He is wanting to confirm the disciples. He wants to encourage them. As we set out on this new year, as we're really exhorted and respond to this exhortation to continue and to live by faith, to see more of our Lord, and as we are reminded that yes, this year may bring real troubles upon us, things that we haven't foreseen, but as we do and remind ourselves that here's a sovereign God dealing with us in His goodness, in a perfect plan. But thirdly, the encouragement. See what he says at the end of this verse, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Enter into the kingdom of God. There's that great encouragement. It's not a tribulation of no purpose. This life of struggle and difficulty is not something that then comes to an end and we return to our dust and there's nothing in the future. The Lord has promised us eternal life and a place in His kingdom, the kingdom of God. And that must, that applies there to the tribulation, applies just as equally to the entering into the kingdom of God, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. There's a certainty about that goal. There's a certainty about glory to come, a certainty about that place that the Lord has prepared for His people, where the Lord has said He's gone to prepare a place for us. It's certain. And it must come because the Lord Himself, the Lord of glory, has promised it. He's purchased us. He's dealt with our sin and washed it away. And so there is a place reserved in heaven for those who've come in faith and trust to this Lord Jesus. And there's that great encouragement to us, to remind ourselves that we're going on this life here. And yes, it's a life of trouble at times, a life of struggle, a life of tribulation. But oh, we shall then enter into glory and enter into the presence of our Lord and enter into that eternal bliss that the Lord has promised for His people. Is that not an encouragement to us? And as we enter into this year, and we don't know what the world and this life will unfold for us individually, or as a life of a church, or even this nation, we don't know what is going to befall us. But we do know this. This is a certainty. This is going to come. Heaven. Glory. The kingdom of God. A place with our Lord in eternity. And that short little gap between now and then, it's so insignificant, isn't it? Compared to eternity. There's glory to come. It's that place where our Lord is even now, the right hand of his heavenly Father. And we shall, as those who come to trust in this Lord Jesus, we must enter into there. We must, because Jesus has purchased us. He's paid the price. He's redeemed us. And he must on that great day stand there as our mediator and say, here are my blood-bought children. I died for them. They are mine. And therefore, they must enter into the kingdom of heaven. What a glorious encouragement to us that must be, to remind ourselves then that that day will come when our Lord will receive us unto himself. There's no doubt about it. We needn't question it. It's not a vain hope. It's not a half-hearted hope. It's not something that's set before us as something simply to compel us to live a certain kind of a life. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who died for us, who says, and his word is true and unchangeable, he has a place for us in heaven, a place for us in glory. Now you can see how the Apostle Paul then, as he wanted to travel round each of the places where he visited, where the gospel was preached and people had heard the message and believed on this Lord Jesus, he wanted to go around and see how they do and confirm them in this Christian life. And this evening, are these the things that we can take to heart that will confirm us and establish us and prepare us for this year ahead, that we are exhorted to continue in the faith, faith in Christ, faith in what he has accomplished for us, faith day by day, living by faith, edified, yes, instructed, yes, taught, much for us to learn, that grounds us and strengthens us, but particularly that, yes, troubles will come, but they're still in the hand of a sovereign God. And then, of course, that great encouragement of that joy that is ours, that eternal bliss that is set before us, that home in heaven. Surely these are things that will confirm us, establish us, encourage us now as we go on into this year that's set before us. But finally, and in closing, having been encouraged in some sense then to see how it is that we ought to be confirmed and established and approach this coming year, we need to be reminded that this isn't done in our own strength. It's in his strength. The faith that he speaks of there is a faith that is given to us by our God as well. And so it is that the apostle then goes on in the next verse, and of the writer here, and speaks of what they did then. He says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And there is that underlines all of our endeavours and all of our hopes and all of our encouragements for this year ahead. We need to put our trust in this Lord on whom we have believed. And the question comes to us tonight, have you believed on this Lord Jesus? Have you believed on him? If you have not believed on this Jesus for salvation, believe that he came and died for you to take away your sins, you're entering into this year with no hope, no confidence, no assurance of a home in heaven. In fact, the contrary. I guarantee you that you have no place in heaven. And when tribulations come, as they do upon all of man and mankind in this world, we'll know nothing of this strength that comes from the Lord Jesus. You see, we need to be those who have believed on the Lord. And then having believed on him and set out in this life of faith, oh, we are commended to his care, commended to his love, commended to his keeping. And that is our strength. As we go on into this life, it's not that we're going to stir ourselves up by some renewed effort of our own, some renewed source of strength that we've conjured up, some new way that we can approach all the things that come upon us. It's because we trust in the Lord. Having come to him in faith, believed in him and laid hold upon him, we're commended to the Lord, commended to his care. And let that be that underlining of our desires we enter into this year now, having believed on this Lord Jesus. What a joy it is to us know that we are commended to him, and we belong to him, and we are his possession, and we cannot be lost. And so we can turn to him at any time, at any moment, at every moment, and we should, and we ought to. Down through the day, our hearts, our minds ought to turn readily to this Lord, our Saviour, to whom we've been commended, and to look to him then to help us, moment by moment, conversation by conversation, circumstance by circumstance, trouble by trouble, whatever comes upon us, let it be our resolve that we are in the hands of a Saviour who loves us, cares for us, gone to prepare a home for us. Let that be our secret, the secret of our joy, secret of our assurance, the secret of our confidence. And when there are those around us who ask us for the reason for the hope that is within us, and they should see that, they should see a hope, they should see that we live differently, that we live through trouble and difficulties in a different way, that we have a lighter step, that we are somehow joyous in a way that they don't understand, they should see that hope. And when they ask the reason, let us be ready. This is the reason. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour. He is my Saviour. He died for me, and he has a home in heaven and on my way home. And this life is a short, brief respite, a short, brief preparation. It's a pilgrimage, as it were. But one day we shall enter into glory to know that presence of our Lord for eternity. And nothing that the world does or says can take away that assurance and that confidence and that hope that we have, for it rests in the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus himself, our Saviour. Well, may we, as we enter into this year, know that, and may we indeed be commended unto this Lord, our Lord. Amen.